Welcome, fellow Last Places, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we will be discussing, well, I will be discussing episode 5 of Andor, exclusively on Disney+. It is a Star Wars story. You guys know the deal by now. There are going to be spoilers ahead. If you like the content, please like, subscribe, do all that stuff. It definitely helps out with our visibility and all that good stuff. And you guys know the basic, promotion and stuff. But for real, though, just to be transparent with you guys, it really does help when you guys like, rate on the podcast and stuff like that, just so we can get more ears to listen to us and things like that. So let me talk about episode 5 real quick. There wasn't much to this episode as far as everything that's happening, but we're getting a night. That doesn't mean I didn't love this episode, because it's a slower burn, right? But you can feel the tensions that are going on inside of these episodes, and it feels like very grounded. And again, I know I talked about that in the first couple of episodes of this, where this show felt super grounded, and I love that feeling. Like, honestly, as I'm watching this show, it makes me even at times forget that we're in a Star Wars universe. And again, that's something that I longed for as a Star Wars fan. I don't want all of them to feel the same, because you have such a big galaxy, and there's no reason for all these shows to feel exactly the same and feel like, all we have lightsabers and things like that, especially because it's just not everyone is looking for that kind of a show. Not saying that that isn't cool, and not saying that I don't enjoy anytime we see a lightsaber or any of that stuff, but having different forms of the galaxy and how people are affected and things like that just makes the world makes the Star Wars world more vast. And we never have to feel like we are stuck in a certain kind of series, right? Like, even if think about how much cooler it would be now if a Jedi shows up, right? You want that feeling to feel more. So the way that they're doing it on this show, not that we even had any inclination of a Jedi yet. The only thing we even remotely close was the kyber crystal that Andor has around his neck. But besides that, there's been nothing that gives you that feel that we might see a Jedi or something like that. So if a Jedi does show up, just think about how much cooler that's going to be, right? It's kind of like what they did in Rogue One, where, spoilers if you haven't watched Rogue One, if you haven't, I don't know what you're doing, go do that right now. But for this show, like, think about Rogue One, right? We didn't have any types of Jedis, and but we didn't have any lightsabers. We didn't have any of that stuff. It was very grounded, and that's what this show feels like. But then that moment when Darth Vader shows up, it's such a heightened, like, hype for us, because we're like, oh, snap, this is still that world. So this is what this show is doing for me right now, especially because we're in episode 5. I believe this one is scheduled for 8 or 10. I should have checked before I started talking, but I didn't, so I apologize. But basically, this is episode 5, so we're really getting to this mission that they're going to do at the garrison, trying to retrieve what they need to and, basically take down this garrison. So obviously with we find out about more of the other characters that are there. We meet a character named Skeen, who we've met before. We met all these characters, but we didn't get really that much of a good story or background on some of these characters. Now we kind of know a little bit of what makes these characters tick, especially when we find out about Skeen and why he's doing what he's doing and how he feels about the Empire. But basically, you see Cassian just interacting with everyone that's part of this little rebellion that's going on, right? So we find out a lot of detailed information about some of these characters, which I thought they did in a very tasteful way, very much finding out how we find out about, what's the character's name? How we find about Nemec, who's basically this, he's a political, he wants to make this political manifesto about how the galaxy is getting, overtaken by the Empire, and how it's not doing, what it's supposed to be doing. And we find out from Skeen that this is a very driven kid, right? He really wants to expose the way that the Empire is handling the world. That's one of the reasons why I'm really happy that we have a season 2 of this show, because a lot of that stuff is probably going to be in fruition, depending on how this show or how this mission ends. And again, as a person who is not the biggest fan of prequels, I love when I don't know what's going to happen, right? Because the movies and other media and Star Wars don't focus on these little stories, we never know exactly what moved some of these needles and things like that. So having a storyline like this, and I know we're going to have a season two, kind of gets me hyped to see what exactly he's going to be doing. Is he going to be able to tell this story about how, you know, the technology and how devoted we've become to everything that the Empire has done to, you know, kind of forget the history of what it was before the Empire was there. So that whole idea to me, I thought was really cool. Just having the whole, just having this whole story behind it and how he tells Andor that, and basically Andor being very interested, even though he won't admit it. And Cassian just looking at him like, yeah, you know, this is a really smart kid. Like, I've seen some of these things before, but like, you know, in the field and things like that. But like, this kid is kind of like opening my eyes, and you can see a little trust for some of them, right? Because as Cassian tries to play this hard-nosed character, we know that there is a bit of a longing there for, you know, camaraderie. And even though he claims to be a loner, like in every situation, he's not really a loner. So I think it's kind of cool that we're kind of getting pretty much these character developments and seeing how they're see what makes these characters tick, right? So I always think that's a really cool moment of just having that conversation and having the milk that could make you survive. And Andor was not the biggest fan of it. Cassian was not a big fan of that milk. But again, we find out about Val and Cinta pretty much being a couple. We don't, you know, Skeen also just lets us know that, you know, her character, you know, their characters share a blanket, meaning, you know, basically they are, you know, they are together for each other. They also later on in before the mission starts, we find out that they have their own mission, and that I forgot his character's name and I apologize, but we find out that the character is in charge, not Skeen, but basically one of the characters are in charge and Val's going to be gone. So she wanted to know that Andor was to be trusted about what was about to happen. So, but even before we get to any of that, we see pretty much what this mission is slowly coming into play. And I loved how we went back and forth into the garrison with the lieutenant basically saying things about, like, we know about the Starfall and how that's going to be and how that's going to play an effect. And him being upset about a painting, which essentially, because he's upset about that, it kind of worked in his favor on how he was going to portray this, right? Like, he's just like, oh, I know you guys don't want to miss this. So he kind of played that as if him being mad. But at the end of the day, he was actually like, this is what I wanted you guys to do. So like, you know, please do it. So you see that smile on his face. And I just love the sneakiness that's going on in this, in the world, because there's so many little things that go on to these missions, because the smallest little detail that fails, we know the strength of the Empire. And I love that we're playing this game where it's so much, like, they have to be so detailed with everything that they do just so that they don't tip their hand or let people know exactly what the next move they're going to do. So this whole thing, and just the way that the whole the mission is coming up together, I think is being shot so well. Just the little small details of everybody trying to, you know, go to this detail. Everyone's having that little fear. I loved when Cassian is doing the march and, you know, can he be a soldier and things like that? And he's doing the march, but he's also so aware that he knows what everyone's hand and what side they prefer to shoot on and things like that. Like, small details like that are always so cool, right? Because he basically is like, you guys should switch sides. And he's like, why should we do that? Val asks, why should we do that? And he basically goes, well, because he's left-handed, like, you want to keep your gun on the outside. And then she's like, okay. And then he's basically like, what about all these other characters? And then he just gives you a basic detail on how all of these characters, what arm they use, what their preference is and things like that. And to have that small detail and just be able to see that really shows what kind of character he is and how much he's paying attention. And it's funny because they question his, if he was able to pay attention and track information and get things really quickly. And I think that kind of won them over, right? Was that small detail that he could tell what everyone wants to shoot. Like, even the person who doesn't even use his right hand to shoot, he is right-handed but prefers shooting with his left. Like, things like that really expand that character and really show you, like, you're dealing with a guy who knows exactly what he's seeing and has analyzed everything that he's seeing, right? So he's not some dude who you just picked up, even though that's what they want you to believe, but he's not some regular person who just got picked up out of nowhere and doesn't know what he's doing. So them showing that and just those small details are really cool. And then having that Empire presence, right? Like, you always see a TIE fighter kind of in the thing. They're always trying to be pretty sneaky about moving around and things like that. All of that, it to me, is very cool. We saw also how Skeen was basically took Andor's bags and stuff like that and didn't want him touching his stuff just because, you know, he does have his secrets and he doesn't want anyone snooping in his stuff. So basically that built a little bit of a tension between them. But we find out later on exactly what Skeen's motive and things like that are, which we'll get to. But then we cut to the we get back to Mon and her family, and she's having family issues because of everything that she's trying to do and her husband and things like that. We see her daughter not have the best kind of conversation with her. And also, I don't know. Listen, I'm just saying, I could never talk to my mom the way that she did. Like, that's just me. I don't know about everybody else, but my mom would have slapped me across that table. And you know what? It would have been like, she definitely would have. So that whole thing for me, I thought was really showing you what those characters are like, right? So I think having that portrayed for her, it's also showing her sacrifice, right? Like, because she wants to keep this position of power so that she can help out the rebellion. So because she wants to help out the rebellion, it is, you can see, doing damage into her personal life, right? She has to hold such a high standard, just high level of being able to go to all these functions because she's a senator. And because she's a senator and also helping the rebels, she needs to, she's living a double life. And when you live that kind of a life, you obviously are, something is going to be sacrificed, right? And in this case, it's the family home, right? Her parents are not cool with everything that's going on here. You can tell, like, everything that's going on is not what she wants. She doesn't want to be away from her family, but she also works at a certain order and time frame and needs everything to be consistent so that it doesn't feel like something is slipping along her way. So she is having a lot of stress, and then it doesn't help that her husband and now daughter are kind of like turning against that and trying to be the people that she doesn't want to. They're kind of just like antagonizing her and just making her making this harder, right? So it's going to be very interesting to see her story, because we do see where her story goes, and we also don't see the her family. So I'm interested to see where that whole storyline is going to lead us to, because we do see Mon later on, because she's in Rebels, she's in Rogue One, she's in Return of the Jedi. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the family and what really drives her after these events, because we do see her in Rogue One. So it's very interesting to see. I want to see what happens in between that time, and we'll definitely figure that out once we get there. So we also go back to Coruscant, where we see Cyril. He's there with his mother. His mother's being very overbearing on him and basically trying to, tell him that he was being a deadbeat and that he needs to talk to his uncle Harlow so that his uncle can give him a job, right? And obviously we know that his job is going to be something that, you know, she never thought that him being a cop, Uncle Harlow was what he wanted or for him. So he kind of just says, like, you know, has this conversation. His mom's being super overbearing and saying these kind of information and things that, you know, are being hurtful. And we already know that Cyril is pretty hurt because he knows what he did and how he failed at that mission. But clearly, even during all that time and all that conversation, they kind of just built the character a little bit. And then we see towards the end exactly what is still on his mind. He still feels like he wants to go get Cassian, and he feels like that mission is not over yet. So I'm glad that they showed that, and just showing that his passion for exactly what he, you know, what he felt is right. He felt like he did the right thing, right? He didn't feel like it was something that he shouldn't have done, and he doesn't feel bad for it. So we can see that he's not giving up by when he sees the hollow. He's like, look, this is what I kind of want to do. You kind of get that feel from him that this is something that I need to go chase and see if I can find the lead ends and see if I can get this person because of all the things that happened. And also, it's a pride thing at this point, right? Like, no one wants to be told or shown or feel that they can't do something. So him being caught and being fired and all that stuff, it's going to hurt his ego a little bit, especially when you're, you know, when you feel like you're a well tactical person, right? Like, which he obviously feels because he felt like he had a good plan. He felt like everything was going to work out and it just didn't. And now that's going to hurt him, right? So he's going to think about that for a long time, even though he's back at home. So it's nice to see the little, like I said, again, the little things that these, the show is showing. They're moving not at the fastest pace, which is fine, because I think you have to tell these stories so you can get that big payoff later on. I think the way that they're telling the story is perfect, right? So it makes sense to me to really build these characters, especially if you plan on having more than one season. And I've said this on some of the other shows, when you know you're going to have more than one season, you have to build the side characters, right? Because Cassian can't be the only character who matters in a world when you build a TV show, right? Even for a movie, but I'm saying more so for a TV show, because sometimes you're not going to have your main character on screen. So being able to build these other characters and have them there to really be understood and have the side characters feel more like actual characters of the show. And, you know, Game of Thrones does this really well. And it's just basically being able to tell multiple stories during a whole episode. And I think this show and Mando does a really good job at that too, even though we see a lot more of Mando in his show. But as far as this show goes, it's nice to see other characters being built, other stories being told. Again, it makes that whole galaxy feeling vast and large. It really makes it feel that way, right? Especially when we get to go to these other planets and things like that. Before the episode ends, we see, like I was talking about, Skeen basically had this issue with Andor this whole time. We could tell because he was searching his clothes, always touching his bags and stuff like that. He ends up trying to, he tells him not to move. And then he ends up seeing the Kyber crystal. He gets really upset and says, why is this dude taking a 30,000 credit necklace to a robbery? Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. I can't trust him, this and that. And Cassian basically says, look, I understand you're scared. Like, you know, it's the day before and everyone wants to act like a hard ass basically, but we know that you're afraid. We know all these things. And he admitted to himself that he's scared, right? He said, look, I'm scared too. Like this, but I understand that I have to keep my cool, even though I'm scared. Because I'm scared, keeping my cool is something that I need to do, which I thought was really cool. And you could tell that Skeen kind of felt that same way, right? He kind of looked at him like, yeah, I guess that can make sense. Val was kind of like, you know, everyone needs to stop. She doesn't have the best control of what's going on, right? I think they respect her, but the decision that was just made on them just didn't make any sense, right? So she wasn't the biggest fan of that. She didn't even want any of this to happen anyway, but we know that this was supposed to happen. Also, from a story perspective, we needed this anyway, right? So I thought that whole thing was cool. And just what Cassian was saying for everything, right? He was just like, this, it just has to happen. This is something like, you know, I'm here. And then he opens up and actually tells them what he's doing there. He tells them that he's here just for the money and nothing more. Like, you know what I mean? He was like, if you guys thought I was going to just do this for free, that's just not something I'm here for, which is kind of, you know, we do know that he's there for more, right? Because he could have chose not to do this. He could have chose, you know, obviously the money was great and he needed to leave where he was, but we know that it still could have, he still had options even before he landed on Aldehin. Like, there was options. So he does kind of want to do this for what they're doing it for. He does Loki want to be part of the rebellion, but he just knows that the politics and all that can get messy. So he's trying to be one of those people like, I don't want to be a part of this because this has hurt me before. But also like, I also don't like what's going on low key, but I'm also good at the things that I do. So I think I love that he's having the anti-hero shadiness kind of, but he's still like, at the end, he's a good guy, right? And we only know that because we know the end, but just we just know, right? So he does convince them that, you know, this is, so he was just getting paid for this, but he is going to be here for the money, and he clearly wants to be able to make sure everyone makes this out in one piece. They end up going right across from the garrison, so we know that the mission's about to happen. Skeen then tells Cassian about his brother and how much he dislikes the Empire, and he had a disliking for the Empire beforehand. This just made it worse. Like, you know what I mean? So he wants to do whatever he can in order to stick it to them, right? So I thought that was cool. I thought that that whole information, and it was really cool about when they when Cassian recognizes Skeen's tattoos. I thought that was cool too. And he was like, look, nobody knows about these, right? So it was really cool. And the Krayt Dragons, if you guys remember, was in Mando, right? On the battle of Tatooine in season 2. So it's really cool that we saw things like that. And again, seeing parts of the Star Wars world that we're in and just dropping little Easter eggs here and there, also great. It's just, you know, the show feels so, I guess I'm just a big fan of this show. And again, we didn't even get that much like action or anything like that from this show. It was just very much high dialogue. It was high dialogue, you know, very like mischievous things going on, little conversations, small Easter eggs and things like that. And it just feels the way that I want a show like this to feel, right? I don't want it to be too fast. I want to feel those emotions with them. I want all those things. So I think this show is doing a really good job at that. So we find out also during this episode why Gorn wants to have this thing when Val tells Cassian the story. Basically, like, he fell in love, he lost his promotion, then he lost his woman, and then he didn't like he didn't like the Empire after that. It would be nice if we can see more. I think obviously someone has to die, or a few people have to die in this mission, because you can't just have some of these missions just be perfect things, especially when you mentioned that it was going to be a suicide mission. The only person that we know for sure is safe is going to be Cassian. So I'm interested to see where we go from here. So again, episode 6 already, because we had the 3 episodes drop, you know, the 2 weeks ago. So I can't believe we're already on episode 6. A lot of these shows that we're watching and reviewing are almost done, man. And it feels surreal, because it was just like, yo, we have so much content to watch, and now it seems like it's all coming to an end soon. So there's going to be plenty of things. I got my plenty of things to review. We're hoping that, you know, we get some next week. We'll probably have Chris back on. So yeah, it's going to be fun, guys. We're going to have all this content for you. Again, She-Hulk's going to be dropping later, and then Rings of Power, which I can't wait for, because that was exciting. It's a good time to be a nerd. Let's just say that. So thank you guys that's going to wrap it up for me. I don't have much else to say on this episode, but that's going to wrap it up for me, guys. Thank you for joining me as always. Please, if you guys can, if you're on Spotify, you can go ahead and review us. They do have a review feature on there. Apple Music, you can go ahead and drop a rating. You can also drop a review on there. That, like I said, really helps us, the channel and things like that. So we greatly appreciate all the support that you guys give us, and we're just going to keep chugging along, man. And it's going to be an exciting year, and I can't wait. I also got my Black Panther tickets, so yeah, you know I'm reviewing that. So, all right, but that's going to wrap it up for me today. I'm glad you guys joined us. Until next time, Fire Team out.